And I think we've been very lucky in Sri Ratna in this way, because it's been there from the start. Sangharakshita has always talked about the need to keep a visionary approach to life alive. He's been described as a dreamer and a visionary, as well as a scholar, albeit a self-taught scholar. And imagination has played a great part in the formation of our movement. In the early days of my own involvement in Sri Ratna, in the late 70s, early 80s, we did loads of myth weekends, and an order member in London called Attila, who's still living in London, he used to do these amazing weekends looking at all sorts of different mythological approaches and symbolism, and Joseph Campbell was actually doing a series on the TV at that time. Him and Bill Moyers, they did this whole series, and it was looking at different mythic motifs. We used to record it in a VCR and then watch it together, a whole group of us, and then we'd talk about it and kind of enact it, and it was very, very alive. People talked about Joseph Campbell and Carl Jung and myth and symbol and imagination, and I wonder if we've lost that a wee bit in Sri Ratna. I wonder if we've sometimes lost a little bit of that kind of openness to something. So symbol, myth, poetry will help us to enter a world of imagination. And we need to each of us find our own way to do that. It will be different for you than for me or for somebody else. Because a symbol isn't something you can say, well, this means this, this, this and this. Well, you can do that, but it works also on a different level. It speaks to us or it doesn't speak to us. And a looking at the detail of a symbol can help open it for us, but it isn't the same as just being touched by it. So what speaks to you? Is it nature? Is it art? Is it poetry? Is it music? Is it film? Is it different visual images? Is it going to see an exhibition? Or is it something completely different? One of the things that I find completely opens my heart and mind to the awe and wonder of the universe, watching things like Brian Cox as Wonders of the Universe or Wonders of the Solar System. That for me, I just end up feeling so expansive when I watch that kind of thing. Anyway, find it. Find what speaks for you. Find what helps you to enter that greater mandala. What helps you to hold your life with a sense of mystery. Keats in Endymion said, "A thing of beauty is a joy forever. Its loveliness increases. It will never pass into nothingness, but still will keep a bower quiet for us and a sleep full of sweet dreams." So find what's beautiful for you. Sometimes people look at something and they say, "My goodness, this is so beautiful." And you look at it and think, "Really? Okay." You know, so you have to find what works for you yourself. I caught the happy virus last night when I was out singing beneath the stars. It is remarkably contagious. Kiss me. So go and sing beneath the stars. You got wonderful skies here. Sing beneath them. But the fact that it's contagious, the kiss, of course, we'll take as metaphoric. Share it. You know, spread the love. When you find something that really makes your heart sing, share that. And also help each other to live in that sense of a greater mandala. We can do that as a community. We can help each other. When we see that our friends are struggling maybe and they're caught in things that are small, and I don't mean small in a derogatory sense either. I don't mean that they're not important, because we all do get caught in things and they are important and they're painful sometimes. But when we see our friends maybe struggling with doubt, try and help them to remember that there is a sense of spaciousness there. Hafiz again, the Persian poet I opened with, said, "I wish I could show you, when you are lonely or in darkness, the astonishing light of your own being." So help each other to see the light in each other. Love each other. That's what I think the message is, really, in the greater mandala. Love each other. Prajna and wisdom is not cold, it's not alienated. So let me read you another quote from this text, which is about wisdom. "The enlightenment of the Buddha was not a cold, detached knowledge. He saw with warmth. He saw with feeling. He saw everything as beautiful. The Buddha saw everything as pure beauty because he saw everything with compassion. Just as, conversely, when you hate someone, they naturally appear as ugly. When from metta you see things as beautiful, you will experience joy and delight. And from that joy and delight will flow spontaneity, freedom, creativity and energy. This flow from metta to joy to freedom and energy is the constant experience of the Bodhisattva. The Bodhisattva's wisdom, in the fullest sense, includes metta. In a sense, we could even say that metta is prajna.